Again, it's good to have all of you with us today. We're glad you're here. Those of you who are visiting, God bless you. And we do want you to get a real blessing out of being here today. And we, again, welcome those who are watching by Facebook or YouTube. And we want you to join in on the service with us. And we're praying for you. If you're out there today in the world, wherever you are, or here in the auditorium, and you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we're praying for you. That greatest decision you'll ever make will be made today. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. Jesus had miraculously fed several thousand hungry people. The Bible says, "Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children." Now, what made this meal a miracle was the fact that Jesus took only two fish and five loaves of bread and fed the whole crowd with 12 small basketfuls of leftovers remaining. Realizing that the multitude was about to take him by force and make him a king, Jesus made a quick decision. Listen as I begin reading in verse 22. Here in Matthew chapter 14. "Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.' When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding region and brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well." It is certainly no understatement to say that life is challenging. From the time we made our first cries as newborn babies, all of us have faced one challenge after another as we've lived out our daily lives. It is a fact of life that we are continually exposed to all kinds of challenges. There are big challenges, small challenges. There are significant challenges that demand an energetic response, and then there are challenges that are easily handled. There are challenges that can change the direction of our lives dramatically, and then there are those that result in no real change at all. There are challenges we have no choice about. An unexpected circumstance appears on the scene, and with it comes a challenge that has to be dealt with whether we like it or not. On the other hand, there are challenges that we do have a choice about. We've all had to scale our own Mount Everest at one time or another, in one way or another. I mean, there are those personal challenges that we take on because we want to reach some satisfying goal. Like the challenge to earn a degree, or like the challenge to get a job promotion, or like the challenge of learning to do something that we never thought we would be able to do, and the list goes on and on. Everybody has a story about a personal challenge and a personal victory that resulted from overcoming it. Now think about this. Think about how dull life would really be if there was never a challenge. Just the same old day after day. What I'm saying to you is this. Folks, we need challenges in our lives. In a real sense, having to deal with challenges makes life worth the living. And this morning, I want to talk with you for a few moments about the greatest challenge that any person will choose to embrace. It's the most life-changing challenge. It is the most fulfilling challenge. And it is the most meaningful challenge. And the challenge is this. It is the challenge of following Jesus. And I want you to know, my friend, whatever you do in life, whatever you accomplish, understand this. It will end up being totally worthless unless you follow Jesus. His call has not changed in 2,000 years. He says to every person in this auditorium and every person listening to this message on Facebook or YouTube, he says to every individual, come and follow me. Now, you can't follow Jesus if you don't know him. And you do not know Jesus if you've never repented of sin in your life and received him as your Lord and Savior. As I said last Sunday, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. That's sin's great big payday, eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So following Jesus begins with knowing him. But that certainly isn't all there is to it. Knowing him is the beginning point of following him. It is not the end point. You don't just say, well, I've trusted Jesus, and because I have, that must mean that I'm automatically following him. No, that's not true. Following Jesus means being committed to following him however and wherever he leads. Jack Taylor was the pastor of Castle Hills First Baptist Church, a church in San Antonio that broke out in a mighty revival. And Jack wrote a number of books on the Spirit-filled life. He is now with the Lord. But he said this. He said that Peter had a built-in repulsion to ordinariness. In other words, Peter wasn't happy with just getting by. And too many Christians are happy with just getting by in this day and time. And he went on to say, if folks should have patron saints, Peter would be the patron saint of the reckless. Peter's adventure of walking on the water. It is an example to every believer who doesn't want to live just a humdrum, ordinary, uneventful Christian life. What Peter did means nothing to those who claim to know the Lord and yet say this, oh, if I can just make it to heaven, preacher, by the hair of my chinny chin chin, I will be happy. Peter's experience is an example to every Christian who is sincerely committed to choosing the challenge of following Jesus. Now, by considering what happened with Peter there on the Sea of Galilee, we discover some vital truths about what it really means to follow Jesus. We need to know what it really means. And the first truth that stands out is this. Following Jesus means stepping out in faith after receiving a word from the Lord. Peter and the other disciples got into a boat, like Jesus told them to do, and started across the Sea of Galilee. Jesus wasn't with them. As I read to you, he went up on a mountain to be with the Father and to pray. Peter didn't mind making that trip without Jesus. After all, as a fisherman, well, he'd been on the water more times than he could count. Peter liked boats. He probably couldn't remember when a boat hadn't been part of his life. Yet, while he and the other disciples were making their way across the Sea of Galilee, a storm came up suddenly. And because of the topography of the land around the Sea of Galilee, that can happen instantly, even today. And it wasn't just a minor squall. It was a raging tempest. Look at verse 24 again. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, tossed by the waves, that's not strong enough language. In the original Greek of the New Testament, the word tossed actually means tormented. Violent waves were tormenting that boat as they pounded against it. And it was with such force that Peter and the other disciples were doing all they could to keep that boat from sinking. By the fourth watch, which started at 3 a.m. and lasted to daylight, the disciples had forgotten all about getting to the other side of the sea. Their only concern at that point was surviving the deadly ordeal that they were enduring. And then it happened. Listen to verse 25. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. They were fearful. They cried out, "It's a ghost coming toward us." And Jesus cried out, "Be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. It is I." And then Peter said, "Lord, if that's really you walking on the water, bid me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come on." And Peter climbed over the edge of that boat and started walking toward Jesus. I mean, Peter took what had to be called a giant step. He took a tremendous risk. If he was concerned about perishing while he was in that boat, just think about how worse his situation became when he got out of that boat and started toward Jesus. At least there was some security by staying in that boat where he was. Peter could have gone over the side of the boat and been an instant victim of drowning. I want you to visualize what a Herculean effort it took for Peter to get out of that boat. Remember this, the waves were pounding against it. The wind was howling. It was a storm that was just raging. And a storm that could just absolutely destroy the boat and them. And Peter, somehow or another, was able to get over the side of it. He climbed out of that boat while it was being tossed and thrown every which way you could imagine. Peter made such a good beginning. He got out of the boat as he abandoned fear, and he stepped out in faith and ended up walking on the water. And immediately, he became the only ordinary human being who has ever done anything like that. Now understand this. While following Jesus means forsaking fear and stepping out in faith, it also means discerning faith and what is foolishness. Although Peter was willing to take a risk, risk-taking is not always spiritual. It is nothing but sheer folly if the Lord is not in it. I'm going to give you an example of what I mean. Let's say that you are listening to this message and you're getting inspired. Well, if Peter can do it, I can do it too. So I don't know if this afternoon is going to be a good time to do it. Choose another one, a good afternoon. Go out and find you a small pond. They're all over the place. There's a little lake not far from here. There's a pond over by our house. I mean, go out there and drive to that pond and then walk down to the edge of the water and say this, I am going to be a water walker just like Peter walked on the water. But I want to tell you this, if you don't have a word from the Lord like Peter did, you better know how to swim and you be certain to have with you a set of dry clothes. Because I'll tell you, you get out like that, you're going to get awfully wet awfully quick. The point is that Peter had a word from Jesus, and he was obedient to that word. Jesus said, come, and Peter obeyed. Now, Christian, what happens when you get a word from the Lord? What happens when you know that following Jesus means that there is something in particular that He wants you to do as a Christian? Remember this, if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to get in on the adventure of walking on the water with Him, you've got to toss aside fear, obey His word, and get out of the boat. And far too many Christians are not willing to do that. John Ortberg is the author of a book entitled, If You Want to Walk on the Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. Long title, but it's the truth. Listen to some remarks he makes. I believe there is something, someone inside us who tells us that there is more to life than just sitting in the boat. You were made for something more than merely avoiding failure. Now, my friend, did you hear that? You can say to yourself right now with no hesitation, I was made for something more than just avoiding failure. You may have seen the flyer that got around years ago. I wish I had a copy of it with me today. I probably have in my files at home. But it was a picture, a drawing of a little boy sitting there, and he was saying this. He was saying, I know I'm somebody because God don't make no junk. And listen to me, folks. Everybody sitting in this auditorium, everybody viewing this message, is somebody who's very special to the Lord. You are very special to the Lord. God loves you, and the Lord wants to do something wonderful with your life. But He'll never be able to do what He wants to do if you're like so many believers who'd rather sit in the stupor of complacency rather than stepping out in a burst of faith. Now, the biggest barrier to responding to a word from the Lord and stepping out in faith, it's readily identifiable. And here it is. The greatest enemy of faith is fear. Fear. Fear works against faith with all the energy that it can muster. And too often, fear wins the day when it ought to be faith that prevails. I'm convinced that we will never know on this side of eternity just how much of a negative impact fear has had on the lives of believers and on the cause of Christ. Christian, you're never going to be a water walker, and your life will never count for the Lord unless you're willing to stand against fear. Take a risk and step out in faith in obedience to a word from the Lord. Remember that, to a word from the Lord. Now, in case you're thinking, well, I'm a Christian, but it doesn't seem that the Lord gives me a word. He doesn't speak to me like that. Well, I'll tell you this from personal experience. The problem is not the lack of His speaking. It is the lack of your listening. You've got to get along with Him. You've got to let Him speak to your heart. You've got to get into the Word of God. You've got to pray persistently and say, Father, let Your will be done in my life. Reveal to me how You want me to live, what You want me to do. And if you're truly one of His sheep, you really belong to Jesus, then listen to what He said in John chapter 10. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. Now there's another truth that stands out about following Jesus in Peter's experience of walking on the water. Following Jesus means keeping failure in the proper perspective. There are no believers, no Christians, who have a perfect record of performance when it comes to following Jesus. There never has been, and there never will be. Those of us who follow the Lord, we revere the name of Peter, and rightfully so. The big fisherman was indeed a true man of God. But he was also a human being just like we are. He had his faults. He had his failures just like we do. Verse 28, and Jesus said, or Peter said, "Well, Lord, if that's really you, bid me to come to you." Then verse 29, Jesus said, "Well, come on, Peter." He got over the side of the boat, started walking on the water, but then he did something. He took his eyes off of Jesus. And he saw and felt the effects of that howling wind. And that when fear overtook him. Realizing he was sinking, Peter cried out, "Lord, save me!" J. Vernon McGee, who was the great anointed man of God and a great Bible teacher, once said, "Peter, when he began to sink, prayed the shortest prayer in the Bible. Three words, 'Lord, save me.'" Then he went on to say, "If Simon Peter had prayed this prayer like some of us preachers pray, 'Lord, thou who art omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent,' Peter would have been 29 feet under the water before he would have gotten his request." Peter got right down to business, and you and I need to pray like that. That's what he said, and it's the absolute truth. We need to pray like that. Now, before addressing the issue about whether Peter's experience of walking on the water was a shining success or a dismal failure, I need to say something else about the matter of fear in relation to following Jesus. Christian, even though the Lord has not given us the spirit of fear, that's what the Word of God says, but of power and love and of a sound mind, that doesn't mean that we won't have to battle fear as we seek to be water walkers instead of boat potatoes. Boat potatoes? What do you mean by that? Well, boat potatoes is John Ortberg's designation for believers who are like the other 11 disciples who were with Peter. Boat potatoes are like modern day couch potatoes. They major on personal comfort. They invariably choose the comfort of staying in the boat rather than risking walking on the water with Jesus. Now, Peter began by defeating fear, but then he forgot what was still lurking on the scene. The challenge of following Jesus, listen, it involves overcoming fear on a continual basis. Every time the Lord leads us to take a step of faith, to go in a new direction, we're going to have to keep on renouncing fear, and we're going to have to keep on moving forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now the question arises, did Peter fail in his attempt to walk on the water and follow Jesus? Well, in a way he did. He shifted his focus from the Savior to the storm. And when he did that, fear instantly overpowered him and down he went. Now, I agree with those who say that there were 11 bigger failures and they were the ones who stayed in the boat. Folks, don't ever forget that Peter got out of that boat. And I'll tell you this, tragically, that is so much more than most believers will ever do. Well, I doubt there has been a more devastating fear in the lives of Christians like the fear of failure. Jesus says, "Come, follow me. Let's walk on the water together. Let's get in on abundant and victorious living. And the average believer says this, Oh no, Lord, I couldn't do that. I might fail. And what would people think about me then? No, Lord, I'll just stay right here in the security and the comfort of the boat until it reaches the shores of heaven. Let me say pointedly to you, Christian, that if your fear of failure is greater than your faith in the Lord, He will never be able to accomplish through your life what He desires to accomplish. That can't be said too often. And someday, you're going to be ashamed that so little was done by Him when He wanted to do so much through your life. You'll stand guilty of committing the sin of unrealized potential. There's so much potential in every life as a Christian, but it's unrealized so often because Christians aren't willing to surrender to the Lordship of Christ and to walk in the power of His Spirit. Now, only Peter knew the shame of public failure. I mean, he fell right out there in the open with all the other 11 disciples looking on him and watching it happen. Well, they didn't fail. No, they didn't fail because they didn't take any risk. Yet, don't ever forget that it was only Peter who knew two other things that the other 11 didn't know. First of all, Peter knew the glory of walking on the water. He knew what it was like to attempt to do what he was capable of not doing and then feeling the excitement of being empowered to do it. Because he did start right. He was walking on the water. Then again, the second thing that the 11 others didn't know about is Peter alone knew the glory of being lifted up by Jesus in his moment of desperate need. He experienced the reality that indeed the Lord is going to be there and He's not going to leave or forsake those of us as Christians who are willing to follow Him. If you want to walk on the water, Christian, you've got to get out of the boat. And I totally agree with John Ortberg when he writes, the worst failure is not to sink in the waves. The worst failure is to never get out of the boat. There's something else that following Jesus means, and it's marvelous indeed. Following Jesus means enjoying some rich rewards. For one thing, there is the reward of experiencing exciting, victorious living rather than dull and routine, calculated living. Christians who don't respond to the challenge of following Jesus with a sincere commitment, and they don't respond by committing themselves to His Lordship, they miss out on experiencing His glory and His power. I am convinced that there is nothing more exhilarating in the life of any believer than stepping out in faith and following Jesus and being a part of mighty works that He does. How thrilling it is when you lead someone to Christ because of the power of the Holy Spirit in your witness. How thrilling it is to see the Lord break in and take you in a different direction and do something with your life you weren't expecting, and seeing God do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know, Christian, Jesus didn't save you and then desert you and say to you, well, just live your life the best way you can until you get to your heavenly home in the sweet by and by. No, He didn't say anything like that. Jesus said this, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, if you know Him, then you are one of the they that He was talking about. You're one of the they who ought to be living the abundant life. But you're never going to live that kind of life, Christian, if you're satisfied with just being a boat potato. I'll just stay in the boat. If you're going to walk on the water with the one you call your Lord, then you've got to get out of that boat and follow Him. Following Jesus, there's another reward. It's the reward of being rescued by Him in your hour of need. Those who never take a risk never get rescued. But if you're going to follow Jesus as you ought to, I'm going to tell you now, you're going to encounter obstacles and difficulties and trials, negative circumstances. Well, there are going to be times when you are going to see and feel the boisterous wind as you walk with Jesus, just like Peter. And you may say to yourself, why in the world didn't I just stay in that boat? I mean, what am I doing out here on the water trying to follow Jesus when I could be back there with those other believers who sure seem to be better off than I am? Just remember this. The Lord didn't let Peter go under. And He won't let you go under either. If you're willing. If you're willing to get out of that boat and follow Him. Peter cried out, oh Lord, save me, I'm going to drown for sure. Jesus reached out, took him by the hand, lifted him up. Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And then when they got back in the boat, the other 11 disciples, they came and worshiped Him and said, truly, You are the Son of God. Christian, why not step out in faith and commit yourself to following Jesus as energetically as you can? Don't say, well, Pastor, that's just too risky. As someone said, everything is risky. You might respond by saying, oh, no, that's not true. That is not true. Staying in bed all day long certainly isn't risky. Try it, and you may find out that you are totally wrong. You may become one of the more than 500,000 Americans who require emergency room treatment each year for injuries caused by falling out of bed. Listen, Christian, take the risk. Determine today that you're going to accept the challenge of following Jesus as wholeheartedly as you can. There's no obstacle, there's no difficulty that the Lord can obliterate. And His promise to you, follow me. I'll say it again. I will never leave you nor forsake you. There's another reward that comes from following Jesus. It may sound strange. There is the reward of enjoying spiritual growth. Peter grew spiritually because he learned some important lessons there on the Sea of Galilee. They were lessons that he wouldn't have learned if he had stayed in the boat. Number one, he learned that when you're following Jesus, you better keep your eyes on Him. I mean, the Bible says that we Christians are to live our lives, as I quoted recently, Hebrews 12:1, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. We never are to look at the storms raging around us. We're to keep our eyes constantly riveted on our Lord. When we do take our eyes off of Jesus, we're bound to falter. And when we do, we grow spiritually. Because why? Because we become more careful and less careless about looking unto Him. Peter learned something else that I've already talked about. He learned that he could count on the Lord in the moment of need. On the verge of a pending, impending doom, Jesus reached out and took him and lifted him up. Christian, you commit yourself to following Jesus, you can rest assured that He'll always be there when you need Him. Always. The greatest lesson that Peter learned is just how important faith really is. How important faith really is. You want to know how important it is? How about Hebrews 11:6? Without faith, you cannot please God. After rescuing him, as I said, Jesus looked at Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? There is no question that Peter's faith was strengthened by what happened to him. I mean, it made him realize how utterly dependent he was on faith. And I think it made him a man of greater faith than he would have ever been otherwise. Folks, we will never discover how much we need faith and just how glorious faith is until we have to depend on it like never before. And that will never take place in our lives until we get out of the boat and we get in on the adventure of following Jesus. Jesus is looking for believers who will truly follow Him. Not Christians that are happy with occupying pews and saying, well, if I can just make heaven, that's enough for me. Jesus said, if any man comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. And the cross he's talking about, was talking about, is not some ingrown toenail or some back problem that somebody has as a believer. The cross he was talking about was dying to self and allowing him to be the Lord of life, sitting on the throne of your heart day by day, and you walk in the power of the Spirit day by day, and you follow after Jesus. You ask, why risk it? Well, I've already mentioned several good reasons why it will always be better to be a water walker instead of a boat potato. But there is one reason that exceeds all others. Here it is. The water is where Jesus is. The water is where Jesus is. And it must be said one more time. If you want to walk on the water with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to get out of the boat. Now, I recognize the fact that there may be someone listening to this message who's never gotten into the boat with all of us who are believers to begin with. And there's only one way to get in the boat. You've got to repent and you've got to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not being a church member that gets a person to heaven. It's not making a bunch of New Year's resolutions that die a few days, that is, after they're made. It is receiving Jesus Christ into your heart. And if you've never done that, then you truly don't know the Lord. Oh, Pastor, I'm trying to be as good as I know how to be. If God would accept you on the basis of your personal goodness, tell me one thing. Why did Jesus Christ have to die on that cross and pay the penalty for your sins? Our self-righteousness is nothing but filthy rags in the sight of Holy God. So I'm going to give you the opportunity in a moment to receive Christ. Those of you who are viewing the message, those of you in the auditorium. And so let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer, and I'll make my way down and we'll get this invitation to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, and you know the conviction of the Holy Spirit that you need Jesus, that He's the only hope for you ever going into eternity prepared, then I want to help you to pray right where you're standing. And if you're viewing this message, I want you to pray this same prayer with me. Pray these words, just quietly. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess that I am a sinner. I know that I have sinned in the sight of Holy God so many times over my life. But right here and right now where I'm standing, Jesus, I do repent. I turn away from sin as a way of life. And I turn to You. Jesus, I believe in You. I release my faith in You. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And Jesus, this is the commitment I make. From this day forth, by Your grace, Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will live for You as the Lord of my life. Thank You, Jesus, for taking my place. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart. My name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, I say to those of you who are watching this message, who are not in the auditorium, you prayed that prayer, you've just been born again. You're a new creation in Christ. And you need to find a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. And you need to walk up in the invitation that's given, and you need to follow the Lord in the first act of obedience for a new Christian, being baptized. And if you're here in the auditorium, I say the same thing to you. And I'm standing here, and if you just prayed and received Christ, don't hesitate. Don't let the devil talk you out of what God wants you to do. Jesus died in public for you, and He wants you to come forward. And by your coming, you're confessing your faith in Christ. Could be that you're here, your membership is somewhere else, and the Holy Spirit has said to your heart, I want you to serve me right here in Pine Drive Baptist Church. Let's do our invitation, and you come right now. Come on, wherever you are, and don't wait and don't hesitate. Let the Lord be the Lord in your life.